The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. Make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to this or viewing this. And make sure you like our page, Big Comedy Network. Fantastic. I'm here this week with a hilarious comedian, Kate Robart.
I like the spirit fingers.
It's my thing. I don't know why I do that.
I love that.
We're both wearing sweaters. I love this.
We're ready to go. Like, I don't know what, like play tennis or something.
I think we're playing tennis, but we're in Midtown.
I don't play tennis really. So that's why I'm like, I don't feel like you wear sweaters when you play tennis. Don't listen to me. But that's okay. A tennis sweater for sure.
It is a tennis sweater, but I do
or
not.
Or you're going to Yale.
I might be going to Yale.
You're going to the Ivy League. The Ivy League.
I did go to Ivy League.
Of course you did. That checks out.
But let's not talk about me. We're here to talk about you. Kate, I met Kate probably like a year and a half ago. I had seen you before.
At Mixer.
Was it a Mixer?
Yeah, it was at, it was like a comedy, women in comedy Mixer.
Oh, yes.
That was the first time I'd met you, but I had seen you online too.
Okay, so women in comedy Mixer, yes, because you're a woman in comedy. So tell our guests about your journey. Yeah.
I feel like I've been out of the game because I had one of those day job things in entertainment.
Oh, wow. That's stressful.
I was working in development and I was on the other side of what I used to want to like be the one pitching shows. And now I was the one that people were, I would
pitching
pitch shows
too.
And then I would also pitch them to networks. It was crazy. It was like, it was a great experience. Got laid off a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I'm so excited though.
Okay.
Because I feel like I learned everything I needed to learn.
How long did you do that for?
Over 2 years.
And you were a comedian first.
Yeah, writer. I mean,
writer.
I feel like it's all so connected.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. She's like, no, writer.
No, I mean, like a playwright, comedian. Like stand-up comedians are so picky, you know, like.
No, that's what they want us to do everything. I actually just like talking on stage and talking here, of course.
You're like a talk show host. You do all the things.
I be yapping too much. So you were a writer. You did some stand-up comedy. Then you went to go work on the development side. And for our listeners, this is who we want to get in front of because we trying to pitch them our little shows. You know, Mika Mo got a script. we all have scripts. And then you got laid off. A couple weeks ago.
But even seeing this show, I'm like, okay, we can package this. We can get somebody. There's like the network mandates. It was fun because I got to see how they do it, how the sausage is made. And like they're making shows. Like we would be like, oh, you need this type of show for this network.
Okay.
So then my job was to like find all those shows. If we didn't have one out there, then we would create it internally. It's like there's somebody who wants this show, right?
Oh my God, like, I need to talk to you.
But now that's the problem is that I want to shut that brain off because I was thinking, do I want to stay on some of my projects from when I was working? I'm like, no, I want to like, because now I look at stuff like this. I'm like, this already is a TV show. Who's the buyer? Like, who are we selling this to?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
The branding's here. The talent. You know,
the talent. You're the talent.
We're all the talent. Everybody's so talented here.
It is New York, so I do love that. Where are you from originally?
I'm from a small town in Texas. Shout out to Orange.
Oh my God,
Fruit City.
For some reason, I thought you were from Georgia, but you're from Texas.
You know, let's not get it twisted. Okay. Georgia, all the southern states, I feel like, especially for y'all East Coasterners, you just blend us together.
Yeah, it's like those people. Interesting. They have an accent.
I worked really hard to correct my accent.
No, you sound fantastic. So you're from Texas.
Mm-hmm. The Louisiana border, though. Gulf Coast.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. It's like it's the third coast. So you have the East Coast, the West Coast, and the third coast, which is the Gulf Coast.
No one ever talked about that. I feel like I've heard okay, got that. And so you just got laid off, very sorry, but are you going to get more into stand-up? What are you thinking?
I think a lot of all of it.
Okay.
And writing, like screenplays.
I love that.
And TV, like especially knowing what people want.
Yes.
And packaging stuff too of like,
okay, you're gonna look at my pilot, thank you.
100%.
Even though we're not here to talk about that, but I still love it. Oh, I love that. I love that.
Well, it's funny because I know what we're here to talk about and I could link it. This is how crazy my mind is that I'm like, okay, shopping, they call it a shopping deal, right? You get your stuff and you shop it out. I'm like, that's kind of shopping. I don't want a spoiler alert.
It is. No. I love a good segue. We know you're from Texas. Is there anything else you want to tell us about yourself before we segue into your topic for this week? I would love to hear how you came to New York. Actually, I would like to hear how you came here.
Well, I got dropped off here.
By who?
My ex-husband.
No. See, this is entertaining. Okay. What do you mean he dropped you off?
I got off the ride with him here.
Yeah.
Because I never, like, I mean, yeah, I was like, everybody wants to come to New York, but yeah. I was like, I'm just trying to do my little wifey-ish.
Got it. Is he an entertainer or comedian?
He went to law school. I met him in law school.
Oh.
When he was in law school, not me.
Got it.
And I was working at a theater, but I was like, this guy was so rich. Oh, my God.
I love that.
I loved that. Yeah.
Rich man. No sugar.
Didn't get the money.
But, no alimony?
Spousal support. I did get spousal support.
Okay. That's something,
And I was
girl.
Living my best life. But yeah, it was a whole, I have a whole show about it, a 75-minute solo show called Polly Shamory, because we ended up starting, are you ready for this? We became polyamorous.
Oh, nice.
It's it's a soap opera. It's a soap opera, right.
Skip over. Mm-hmm. So how many people were you in a poly cool? Is that what it's called, poly?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, it was paramour, metamour. There's all this lingo and phrases.
I don't understand these poly people.
I just call it cheating. I call it cheating. No, I'm not, I'm no longer a member of the community.
I'm like, this is just cheating. But you know, I don't want to sex shame or kink shame. No. I don't know what they call it nowadays. I'm just single person.
Like, hindsight is 20/20, and he was just really rich. So I was like, okay, you want to do this? Okay.
How many people did you have in the poly pool?
Well, I'm very competitive.
Okay.
And so he had somebody, and I was like, I will have somebody better than you. But he wanted to have like a third, you know, a paramour, no, a metamour. Anyway, it's been so long, but long story short, I was just like, I'm gonna kill them, you know. And that's really when that time in my life was really when I started doing stand up, because I got off the ride in New York. I was like, I can't do this marriage anymore, because he moved in this 22-year-old who was like a younger version of me.
Oh,
I know.
This bitch.
I know. No, we wish them well and far away, you know.
Got it.
I was just like, okay, this is the city for, like, there's so many great writers, there's so many great opportunities for stand up, and I feel like writing is. It's crazy to me when stand-up comedians say they're not writers, but writing is like my art.
No, that's true. I guess it's funny.
It's the sword, and you could use it for a script.
True.
You could use it for all
true.
These different things.
We do
things.
Write. It's just sometimes we feel like we're performing too. So anyway, but we are writing. That is so interesting. We might have you back to talk about that, but because it's We're Done Here pod, we have
polyamorous
to get into
survivor.
The topic. Oh, the poly stuff? What?
I said I'm a polyamorous survivor.
Oh,
sorry
okay.
for interrupting.
I don't know. We're not kink shaming people. but your topic today is shopping addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how does that fit in with the marriage, the poly? Is it connected or not connected?
It's all connected.
Okay, love
it's
that.
All connected.
Take us away.
I mean, oh my God, what did that snort?
Oh, yeah, I did snore. I snore a lot.
That's so cute.
It happens.
I didn't grow up with a lot of money.
Okay.
And so I will say money can fix a lot of problems, right?
It really can. I don't care what they said.
I grew up with my mom always like our treats would be like a Little Debbie snack.
Mm-hmm.
That's real Southern. I don't know if y'all.
We used to go to the bodega, get the 25 cents. We used to have like 50 cent, 25 cent honey buns, shit
I
like
that. I love all of those. And so she even had, I was just thinking about this, thinking about you, and she even would save those little codes on the back and ship them in for free stuff, you know?
Oh, wow.
So she had this free Little Debbie's container. I want that. But she was doing, we were always treating ourselves with like, you know, a little treat. Mm-hmm. If she went to a grocery store, you know, you see the teller is like having a bad day or something, she would always buy, like, we were like a treat family with candy. So she would buy a candy and like open it up and pass it to them.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was so sweet. And I was just like, oh, buying things, like, it makes you feel good, even if it's not expensive.
It does.
And so I would just live for like, can we go? It's like, I'm from my hometown is so country. We have like a farmer's mercantile.
Okay.
People don't even know what that is.
Like, I think, is it a farmer's market?
You could get like a duck. You could get like horse.
Oh, okay. That's different. Yes.
It's different. But they also have some kind of like that kind of stuff. Like I got a duck there once. you know, but they had like rock candy, you know, so it was always like, you know, you need this little amount of money that's going to get you something, a little treat. There was this blind man in the courthouse because my mom worked near the courthouse, and I could go. It was always crazy because he could tell how much a dollar bill was, and I didn't know. I'm like feeling the dollar bill trying to tell. But he would know if you like tried to cheat him. Not that I was trying to do that.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. Damn.
But I always loved those little treats, you know?
Okay.
Even if they weren't expensive.
Yes.
And then I think the real like hell broke loose when I married the rich man.
Got it, because that's when you were able to enable your shopping addiction, essentially. So tell us about, so I would like to be distinct in terms of why do you label it an addiction specifically? Because a lot of people like to shop, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But why do you think it's an addiction? Like, how did it get to that, like, that point?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I really feel like this is the best talk show ever. You're asking the hard-hitting questions. I feel like it's an addiction because I have so many addicts in my family, and they've coped in different ways. Like, my brother is, he's been an alcoholic. He's been every kind of drug. He's done all of them. And I feel like, you know, we're so close, and we just dealt with things differently.
Got it.
And so my way of dealing, it was always like, clothing, right? Which people are way friendlier to you if you have a shopping addiction than, you know, a heroin addiction.
No, shoes. No, yeah, most definitely. That's a way better. I mean, your credit card companies aren't really nice to you, but yeah, society is. So basic. Okay, so you know you have addiction in your family. So how did it manifest when you got married?
I mean, I'm sure it was around before, but I just had the access, you know? Because I remember when I was like a freshman in college, so many of us, you know, I got a Victoria's Secret credit card. No,
Victoria's Secret, I don't want to.
18-year-old needs that. And they're like, here's $300 on a credit. I got $300 worth of, you know, underwear.
Of course, from Victoria's Secret,
and, had no business doing that, you know. I got the Target card.
Love the, in college. Target. You know, Target.
Right.
That is like so expensive.
Yes. And
I spend so much money.
Dillard's. There. Y'all don't have Dillard's up here.
I've seen Dillard's. I've seen the Dillard's. I don't know if it's up
very
here for
Southern.
Sake.
I've seen that. I had a Dillard's credit card. So, I mean, it was definitely always around.
Okay.
But they just didn't trust me like that because I was like young. You think every white woman in America is just like given credit, and you would be right. No, I'm kidding. But it's really the Ivy Leagues that get you those credit cards.
No, that is true. Yeah, the Ivy Leagues. But okay, that's interesting. So it's always been around. And then, so you get married. Mm. What is the peak of the addiction? Like, are you hiding things? Like, how much stuff are you buying?
Well, it didn't matter. I was definitely trying to get attention from him with his credit card, but he had one of those like magic credit cards, a trust fund credit card.
It basically never go. Yeah,
JP Morgan metal one. Yeah. I had one of those.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It was so
was it black?
No, steel? It was like metal. It was like a steel metal one.
Okay. That's,
I remember I had lost it at one point. Well, actually my wallet was stolen.
But, I would steal that.
Right. Well, they can't use it. Those things are so secure.
Oh.
But the card itself was like, I forget if it was like $195. It was like enough money where I was like, oh my God. Like a plastic one, they'll just reissue.
Yeah.
If you lose it. I was like, that's crazy. And it would come in this like fancy, beautiful box.
I love that.
It was...
amazing. What did you buy?
Well, it was just like... It was like, you know, dumb stuff. I mean, not even dumb stuff. It wasn't
a little treat.
Even what you would buy. It was more like what couldn't I buy?
God.
And that made you like walk different. And it was always funny to me when I had less money, I dressed better.
That's interesting.
Because I wanted to be perceived as, like, when I didn't have as much money, I really wanted a Louboutin. Like, I was waiting tables at Carrabba's Italian restaurant. I had no business spending my money.
Those bags were like $700, I remember.
I think this one was like $1,200.
Oh, 12 is one of the bigger ones.
It was the PM with the zip and the crossbody.
Yeah, and you had like no business.
My mom was like, you look stupid. Like,
Was that in Texas?
This was in Texas.
Why did you need that bag?
Because people in the smaller towns, they really want to pretend. They really want to like stunt on.
Got it. So you're saying you weren't like buying a bunch of stuff. You would just buy anything at any time. Would it be like,
even still,
would you buy something every day or would you like buy something every other day? Or was it like big purchases? Like,
it's even the whole process of it. You know, like I feel like if you're a crackhead or we don't want to say a crackhead because addicted persons.
Okay, you can say crackhead.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I feel like you have your little rituals, right? You have your little routines. And that's what even I do. You know, I like to think about what I'm going to buy. I like to research. I like to shop. Even I think I told you I peeped. I'm like a little, I get obsessive about something.
Oh, it's obsessive.
I peeped your bag.
It's an addiction.
That hair, what
oh,
was it?
The bag I have?
Heria or something. It's a Spanish brand.
Yes.
And I had been looking at that bag.
Yes,
and I was like, oh, what brand is that? And you go, I don't know. Like, I was like, that is the bag I want. Like, I had been dreaming of that bag.
I was like, it has holes in it. I love it.
Like, I was like, it is perforated. And I'm like, I remember it just being like, oh my God, I shouldn't be fondling your bag like that.
Okay.
But it's because I think about things for a really long time. Then starts the research. This is now that I don't have money. But I think I've always been a deal hunter, you know?
No, but it's so essentially the addiction comes in with the obsession and the ritual around it. And
are you a therapist?
No, I'm not.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm not, but I went to years of therapy. This is about being fake therapy. This is fake therapy podcast. But that makes sense. I'm trying to get to the bottom for the listeners. I'm trying to get to the bottom of like, what's that root thing? But it's the ritual. Does it take up time? Has anyone ever been like, Kate, what are you doing? Like, and you're like shopping or spending time shopping. Like, how does it impact your relationships, I guess?
Well, I try to use it for the better. You know, I try to use my weakness for the better. So like, when I know I'm without a job, I have no business shopping right now, but I know you have something coming up, I'll be like, oh, what are you looking for? And then I start scouring. Like now I'm on a budget, so I'll do Real. I'll do like all of these consignment places.
You're scouring for other people?
That's how you get high off of your own supply. Like that's how you get high off someone else's money.
Wait, I do need some stuff. No,
so, I'll be like, what size do you have? And I love like all of the different websites. And then I start saving them, favoriting them, setting alerts for when it goes down. It's really the amount of time I have spent. Even I used to get my steps in, you know, like I would be like Nordstrom Rack, you got to do, and that's how I would get my exercise. But I've cut myself off because I did get called out for it.
So you cut yourself off shopping?
I'm on a diet.
Who called you out?
Well, I mean, it's a shopping diet. It's been a long time coming. You know, I've needed this as basically.
And you lost your job. You can't shop anymore.
I know.
I'm sorry. Wait, my bad.
Well, my boyfriend, he was just like I would rather shop than do anything, you know. And I live in such a small apartment. Mm. Even like I bought the handbag, like a different version of your handbag. And was trying to find it so that I could be like, look, we're twinsies.
Oh, I love that.
And the problem when you live in such a small apartment and you have like a shopping addiction, then it's so hoarded in there.
Yeah, there's too much
stuff. You gotta put stuff under the bed. You gotta.
Got it. Oh, your boyfriend. So he's a comic. Let's not talk about him. I probably have him on the podcast too, but
yeah, he's got his own addiction stuff.
No, I know. Like, that's why he's very entertaining.
Well, and he's like addicted, which you know, once again, it runs in my family. But I gotta say, it's like a way cuter look to be addicted to shopping because
no, most definitely. But you're saying that you have too much stuff, like you couldn't find. You know, that's like that handbag. I wear it all the time.
That is such an expensive handbag.
It's
though.
It's one handbag. It is expensive. I was like, is it expensive? Probably. Wait, don't be in my business podcast.
Let's talk about you. I remember I was like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get the handbag? And you were like, when I used to shop. And I remember being like, used to shop. And you said you hadn't been shopping in a while.
I don't really shop.
So like, shop your own closet.
Yeah, like I'll go dig in. Like I'll dig in my closet to see what's there.
What I'm trying to get into.
I hate shopping. Like I actually don't like it. So it's like for me, it's like something I do because I have to do it. Like I know everyone like that stupid yellow coat that I wear that people like.
I love that coat.
Like I walked in Macy's, saw it, bought it, and left. And I would never. And I'll just do that once a season, and I'll just never go back. And
Ariana Grande. You're like, I see it, I want it, I buy it.
So tell us how your boyfriend called you out.
Oh, he's just like, well, first of all, he keeps calling me poor, which I'm like, that is low frequency.
That's
like,
weird,
don't.
He's from Long Island. Like, anyway, go on.
he's from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the other one's from Long Island. Okay, great. Sorry.
He's from Brooklyn, but he just like. You know, he was an addict, and I feel like he sees me, like, scrolling on all those shopping websites, and he's like, this is taking up too much of your time. It's unhealthy.
Did he name your addiction for you, or did you come to the
He is a social worker and does, like, a lot of that peer-to-peer counselor, and I'm wondering if he tricked me into realizing that I have a problem. But I think it's also financial. Like, I realize I have all these shoes. Nobody wants to buy old shoes, even if they are designer. I don't have a house. I don't own a, you know, I'm like.
So it sounds like you're starting to see that you're addicted to this stuff and you have too much stuff and you live in New York City and we have limited space and your boyfriend told you more about it. So you're starting to see it more as an addiction. Got it.
But I'm not giving him that power. You know what I mean?
I actually shouldn't. We're not even saying his name.
Because, I still say, like, it's better to buy clothes and stuff if it's, like, a certain quality of ish because
that's true.
I bought crypto and that got depleted and
I'm so happy I didn't buy crypto.
You could sell that handbag for and it's still worth a couple $100s.
Yeah, true. I can sell that handbag. Thank you so much for telling me I could sell
it. I am interested in buying
it. Well, not selling it, but thank you. All right, so that's interesting. So now that you know that you have the shopping addiction, are there steps you're taking? You said he will say her boyfriend's name, Derek. Derek called you out. So are you taking steps to, like, I don't know, not shop? Like, what are you doing now?
So I'm still kind of, like, cheat shopping, you know?
Okay, like, so you're still dabbling in the addiction.
If I shouldn't buy something for myself, I'll be like, but look at this shirt for you. Look at this shirt for you.
Oh, okay, so you're still cheating.
Yes.
Got it, but you want to stop.
I do. No, but I'm like, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to go on a little fast, you know?
Okay. When's the last time you shopped?
So a package that I ordered, it was a shirt for him, just got stolen. We had a bunch of packages stolen from my building. So I was like, that's God trying to tell me.
Maybe not,
you were
girl.
Supposed to.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or telling me I should shop again. I don't know. But I'm limiting it. Because even the grocery store, you know, you could like stretch it and get a candle.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Be anything. You know?
Okay, you know what? So I want to just say for our listeners, it's kind of like you're kind of starting on your journey to realize you did the origin story. You know where it came from. Mm-hmm. You're dating this man who's in recovery, essentially, and he's calling you out. And you're now seeing your behavior as addictive. So I don't know. There might be a part two to this saga when you actually figure out, like, where and what you were doing exactly, because I know you think the behavior itself it's very time consuming, but you can't say what you've bought, which is interesting.
Just too much. It's just too much.
Okay, got it. So that's interesting. So we're at the first beginning of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
But it brings joy. You know, have you ever bought something and you get like a shopper's high, like a runner's high?
No, I spend most of my money on trips though. So that's how I feel when I buy a plane ticket or if I'm staying at a very expensive hotel.
You start thinking about it.
I'm obsessing about my summer vacation. Mm. So that's why I don't buy bags and stuff because I'd rather like go on a trip somewhere.
But this is how I know you already have the best luxury item there is.
What do you mean?
Which is an Ivy League education.
That's true. I do have that. I'm not happy for you. I ain't paying
What's the school?
Columbia. We all went to Columbia. It's New York City.
We did not all go to Columbia.
No. A lot of people. Anyway, they getting paid back for me because you know I ain't got the money.
Meadow Soprano did go to
Did
Columbia.
She? A lot of people went to Columbia. It's not a big deal.
I
kind of hate that school. But anyway, that's another topic for another podcast. I would like to thank you for sharing your journey with us. I feel like you're just beginning.
For sure.
And I feel like if anyone's listening, going through like a shopping addiction, you might notice, well, call Kate, but don't call her so she can say I'm shopping for you. But you might notice some triggers. I like the fact that you're noticing the triggers and trying to course correct. It may take you a while, but I like the fact that you're doing that. Okay, great. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Have you ever thought about turning this into like a shopping?
No, we do not. Show. I hate shopping. I told you, I walk in, we're out. We're in and out. Okay, yeah. But of course, this is We're Done Here Pod. Mm-hmm. So every week we talk about something we're not done with. Is there anything you're not done with? Pop culture or otherwise?
Rewatching The Sopranos.
Why is everybody doing that? Yeah,
it's the 25th anniversary.
Oh, a lot of people are rewatching The Sopranos.
Really?
I feel like someone was talking about that again.
It's so good.
I've been talking about that. I don't know. I remember. Maybe we talked about it on this podcast. I don't remember. I think somebody rewatched it on this podcast.
I think that was me.
What was that?
But I like that I'm trendsetting. It's like you're like everyone. No, but I'm the only one who's ever watched The Sopranos. Nobody else.
Okay,
I'm the only
it.
Fan.
No, but
I'm like that.
Is it your first watch? Or are you discovering new things?
I was like young and watching it through
got
the snow
yeah, that's true.
Earlier.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we don't really
true.
Have HBO, so
okay.
I was like,
you
watch
different.
It through. Did you ever watch anything through the snow?
Oh,
yes.
Hell yeah,
okay.
Yeah. My mom didn't always have cable. So yeah, we had to watch the snow too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I'm like, and now I'm thinking about you talking about shopping addiction. But anyway, I was like, somebody else has one. But anyway,
your mother
probably, but she listens to this podcast, so we won't talk about it.
What, does she buy stuff online?
She does. Yeah, she does a lot. She buys me stuff too.
So maybe that's why you rejected it.
Oh wow, we're doing reverse psychology here.
And I'm also not a therapist.
She's gonna be so mad when she listens to this.
But if your mom wants to go shopping, she could also call me.
She would love you, by the way. She'd be like, what are we getting us?
I already love.
She would buy you so many dresses.
Oh my God, let's go to Nordstrom Rack immediately.
She would love it. Nordstrom.
Or Macy's.
My dad swears by Nordstrom Rack only. Like,
you can get the best stuff, but you can't go with anything in mind. You have to be open to what you're gonna find.
No, that's true.
You can't go when you need something. You have to just like
be on the... You have to go when you like free. Yeah, you're free. Okay, but you're not done with The Sopranos. Sorry, just to bring it back.
I'm not done with The Sopranos. Okay, I'm clearly not done with my shopping addiction.
No, either. I know, but I like the fact that you're at the beginning of your journey and you actually just had me have a revelation. Yeah. what I'm not done with is... I'm not done with this. Have you ever listened to this Risa Tisa... Risa, I don't know the lady's name. Anyway, this is black lady on TikTok. She got 52 TikToks about her and her man that she left or something. I don't know. But it has taken over my week. Me and my friends are talking about it. It just got on Instagram.
Is she going to get a TV show? I bet someone's going to make that into a TV show.
She needs to get a TV show. I hope she gets a TV show. I don't know who's. It needs to be Netflix. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to be honest. Shonda Rhimes, somebody. But basically, it's about this man who kind of bamboozled her. And the reason why I identify with it so much is because a lot of girlfriends have been bamboozled. And it's a cautionary tale about how women can be bamboozled.
I too have been bamboozled.
Yes. Like,
okay, now I have to watch this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Risa Tisa on TikTok. Okay. It's a whole thing. Yeah. But Kate, thank you so much
for
coming on the podcast. Where can I guess find you?
I'm Kate Robards on Instagram. And yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a nice day, everyone.